George Floyd's killing by a police officer in Minnesota has created a worldwide movement, unprecedented in size and scope and racial makeup. We wanted to see it for ourselves and learn more about what's driving non-Black people to the streets like never before. Producer Christina Kim and I went to two protests over the weekend in Los Angeles County, one in the East LA neighborhood of Boyle Heights and Pasadena, California. It's where I spotted Tasha Kirksey, a Black woman originally from Chicago, recording a flood of protesters marching in the street past her apartment complex. She was holding her cell phone, recording her white, Latino, and Asian neighbors marching for Black lives.
There's just like so many people in solidarity, which I love, because it's like it's about time for us to get recognized and see that we're treated unfair. And so I'm glad that people are finally standing up for us, because it's overdue. Been overdue.
Pasadena is kind of a microcosm of the United States. About 10% of the people who live here identify as Black. And like most places in this country, there is a history of racism, like restrictive covenants that prevented Black and brown people from purchasing homes and attending schools here. The U.S. Supreme Court abolished them in 1948, but efforts to keep Black and brown residents out of Pasadena lingered for decades. At an intersection along Fair Oaks Avenue, that's a major road in Pasadena, Carolyn Bowling, along with her husband, 7-year-old son, and 4-year-old daughter, held up a Black Lives Matter sign written in Korean.
I was about 7 years old during the Rodney King riot. Some would say that my dad was one of the roof Koreans, you know, so he would go out and we wouldn't see him for days, you know.
During the 1992 riots, Bowling says her father joined a movement to protect their property by standing on the roofs of their storefronts with guns. 28 years later, Bowling is thinking deeply about her role in breaking down systemic racism.
It's really kind of embarrassing that, you know, we kind of look past this and we haven't done anything or spoke out about it. I'm trying to teach my kids, like, hey, you know, we live this privileged life. You don't understand, like, you know, the type of things that I've seen, you know, constantly. I've been seeing especially Blacks and Latinos and Asians get handcuffed before they're even questioned, you know. So, yeah, that's something that, you know, we're trying to teach our children. To be honest, I'm really quite embarrassed that I've gone this long without saying anything.
Walking alone was Minju Yoon, with a sign that read, Black Trans Lives Matter. She's been reading lately about police brutality against Black transgender people and wanted to be part of teaching what she's learned.
I think I've been in a learning process since the 2016 election. I used to be very moderate and liberal, and learning more about the history America has of oppression and systemic racism and how much it's been built on the genocide of Natives and just taking advantage of marginalized communities has really radicalized me.
A few steps away from Yoon was Ralph T. Day, a white man who, in the spur of the moment, decided that he and his wife should be here.
I'm a white man, and I was just sitting at home, comfortable, and we never did anything about the injustice. And I finally realized that it's my time to get involved.
What was it about this moment that made you decide, yes, I need to be a part of this action?
I think I see how angry people are and how many people are angry. And it's just hard not to join it and to get angry as well.
There's something else about T-Day's newfound activism. He's talking for the first time about racism with other white people in his life, like his in-laws.
We have a long conversation with her mom yesterday, and we noticed her changing the way she speaks about this issue, too, over the years, because we've been having these conversations for a while. And it's really great to see older generations kind of shifting the way they're thinking and talking about these issues.
I'm Christina Kim. About 10 miles south of Pasadena, in the East LA neighborhood of Boyle Heights, a historic Latino community that's in the midst of gentrification. Hundreds of protesters gathered at Mariachi Plaza, on foot and in cars, including Marcos Alvarez, who drove over 65 miles from Palmdale, California, to be here. The neighborhood looks a lot different than when he was a kid, he says. We met at the intersection of 3rd and Indiana, right next to the corner where he used to get raspados, shaved ice. It's now a coffee shop.
Historically, the stereotype is that blacks and Latinos don't get along, right? You have to tackle the problem from within. The leaders that be, whether it be Chirla, right, immigration rights of L.A., and other Chicano associations, to get together with Black Lives leaders, whether they be in Compton, whether it be in South Central, you got to reach out to East L.A. So the powers that be have to come together, shake that hand, create that dialogue, and get rid of the history that has divided us to begin with.
Alvarez recognizes that this kind of solidarity is painful, but also necessary.
I'm proud of my culture. I have witnessed many wrong doings against the people of color, and I'm tired. Tired enough to reach out to my younger brothers and sisters in this community to make change.
This is the kind of change Deja Garcia has been thinking a lot about lately. She grew up in a household that didn't talk about race and racism openly. She's now having these conversations with her 2-year-old daughter.
You know, obviously she doesn't really understand it, but kind of trying to start a conversation at least with her. You know, our kids are the next generation, and we have to teach them in order to kind of move change. You know, we move it through the youth and the kids, and once you install it in them, who knows what the future will hold.
As the protesters weave through Boyle Heights, families and neighbors came out to watch, to hand out water. Leticia Garcia stepped out of her clothing store to cheer the protesters on.
Solo están levantando su mano y su voz.
People are just raising their fists and their voices. Our struggle, she says, is always about making things better for our future.
Para nada, porque queremos lo mejor para nuestro país, porque yo también me considero parte de aquí.
It's something Garcia believes in and wants for the United States, a country she now considers her own. Here in Boyle Heights, the message is clear. People came out to say Latinos support Black lives. And as so many of the signs read, Las vidas negras importan.
Boyle Heights and Pasadena, two very different communities that have joined a larger movement to demand justice and equality for Black Americans. A slice of the cross-racial solidarity we're bearing witness to all over the world.